It's time for Robert's Rules, our twice monthly check-in with Chatham County Representative and North Carolina House Minority Leader, Representative Robert Reeves. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
How are things? How's life? How's the family?
Family's doing great. Life's great. Can't complain about anything. I actually had a free weekend this past weekend, and I didn't know what those were, so it was really nice. Kirk didn't make me work. It was just great.
So you got some of that valuable family time.
Yes, absolutely.
That is fantastic. I'm so glad to hear that. We haven't talked since the midterm elections, so I think we should probably dive right into that. What are your initial reactions, or I guess not even initial at this point, now that we've had a little bit of time to process it, what are your reactions?
They were interesting, to say the least. On our side, I don't think there were any real surprises on the statewide level. The Republican side, I would say from the state house all the way down, all the way up to the Council of State levels, there were some real surprises and some real indicators. And I would say if you ask me the single most surprising thing that happened from that Tuesday, evening when results came in to 24 hours later that Wednesday, was a report by the North Carolina Chamber sounding an alarm bell saying we're in trouble and we've got to be conscious of this. If you haven't seen the article, it was a really interesting article because, you know, it's not a secret. The chamber is leaning kind of conservatively in their support of candidates, things like that with the business interests. And it was nice for them to all but say that if you want to save business in North Carolina, it's probably going to be these elections you need to pay attention to.
So how do you kind of rally people to understand the urgency of that when so many messages come across as like everything is the most important thing?
Well, I think the hard part for us is just really getting through all the noise. Like when you really think about it, you break down how campaigns have been run. We've accelerated over the last 7 years in a way that eclipses the prior 100 years. And so it's just really, really hard to cut through the disinformation. So the good thing is it actually goes back to what our strength is as a party, and that's getting out and talking to people. But the bad thing is you got to get out and talk to people in the sense of not that it's bad talking to people, but that it's hard to get the bodies to go out and educate people. Because really what it is education at this point. What I found, and was actually talking to a candidate yesterday about this, that we haven't had a problem once we get a chance to talk to people and explain the issues. Once you explain to them the issues, the connections, who fixes their potholes, who makes sure that the schools are funded, then we get those votes. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Our problem is getting there to do that. And just as the chamber and some other groups sounded the alarm bell last week, we can depend on the Republicans to come up with some brand new social issue that is suddenly going to be the alarmist bill for them going into the election. So the question is going to be, are people going to listen and care about the issues that will actually change what food goes on their table, how much money they make, how much they're able to save? Huge problem that we're having now with retirees not having enough money in their savings. Are they going to care about those issues, or are they going to care about the hot topic social issue of the week that's probably never going to affect them in their lifetimes? If we can get them to understand about the issues that matter, we're going to win. If we can't get our bodies out there to make people understand that, you know, then we're going to be in pretty dire straits come January.
When you say get our bodies out there, what does that look like in the next, 6 months?
What it looks like is people as a whole are going to have to get out. I think one of the problems that I've seen on the Democratic side is everybody understanding what their role is and that they've got a duty. This isn't one of those things that you can sit out. This isn't one of those things where you can say, oh, you know, well, John Smith's the one running for office, so John Smith can worry about knocking doors. John Smith can worry about making phone calls. John Smith can worry about sending mailers. What we're going to need are people who care about the things that we care about. Everybody, whether you're 8 or 98, is going to have to get out, knock on the doors of their neighbors, of their friends, talk to their families around the table and say, hey, guys, this is what's at stake during this election. And that's what I mean about getting the bodies out, because it's not comfortable. Nobody likes that. People don't like confrontation generally. People don't like having to engage about politics or anything of that sort. But we're really at a point now where that's it, because people have lost their circles of trust. Yeah, it used to be all of us could cut on the news and we listened to Dan Rather, we listened to Walter Cronkite, and we felt like we were getting an unbiased voice telling us what was going on in the world. Well, now everybody's in their silos. And so the only people that they trust are people that they know and know well. So the people that they know and know well have to come to them and say, hey, I know this is what you believe. I know this is what you've been hearing. Here is the truth about how this works and how it connects, why your vote is important, and why, you know, we're going to need you going forward.
It's the voice of North Carolina House Minority Leader Robert Reeves. And we started there talking about a reaction to the midterm elections. But as we've talked about before, it's kind of just all general election at this point in a lot of ways. We did, as you said, got some surprising results, moderately surprising results. But the kind of conversation around these elections is very much a general election conversation even prior to those midterms. Which leads me to my next question. What are the next few weeks or the next month or so like for you between these midterm elections and then the start of the short session?
I mean, at this point, every month is October. And what that means is, I mean, you've got to take every single day and use every single minute that you've got available to do things. Campaign staff and I were talking going forward about doing things across the state. We're talking about what we've got to do, obviously, in district. But, I mean, it's just a lot of work. I mean, when you think about it, if you look at the last couple of election results, you've basically got 5.5 million people who are participating in the voting franchise. We expect that to be a larger number this year. So if you say 6.5 million people, you just got to figure out how to get to them. Because, again, it is shocking in some senses. What people's ideas are. There was a poll this morning with WRAL that was talking about the fact that nobody likes any candidates. And, you know, and so a lot of what we got to do on our side is make people understand it's a binary choice. This isn't going to be one of those things where, hey, if I sit out this election, then something good is going to happen. When you sit out the election and somebody that you don't like just got to vote. And so trying to make people understand, one, there's no such thing as a perfect candidate. Two, you've got to find the candidate that advances the most things that you care about. And I really believe in this election, it's going to be a pretty easy choice because, again, if you care about what's going on with your families, with your friends, with the economy, with the food on your table, I think it's a pretty simple choice. You know, if you care about just staying angry, you know, fighting against everything all the time, then, you know, you're going to make other choices. And right now, what I care about is making this state a state that my kids, when they get out of school, want to stay in, want to work in, want to come back to, and want to invite other people to.
What's the best way people could get involved right now in March?
I mean, right now, immediately go contact your local parties. Go contact advocacy organizations that align with your beliefs and ask them where you can help. Tell them what you like to do and then ask them how you can help because there's a job for everybody. If you're the biggest introvert in the world, there's something for you to do. If you're the biggest extrovert in the world, there's something for you to do. If you've never done politics before, there's something for you to do. But you need to do something. This is really, you cannot afford to look back 10 years from now at this particular election and your contribution was sitting at home. It's not going to be enough to just vote, even though we need you to vote. It's not going to be enough just to give money. It's not going to be enough just to, well, you know, I took an hour out between March and November and I, you know, went and called five people. I mean, you've got to find something that you do. You got to treat it like a second job.
It's the voice of Robert Reeves. This is Robert's Rules, and we're about out of time already. So I want to give you the last minute or so here if there's anything that you wanted to mention that we haven't gotten to yet.
Well, one of the races that I think really sounded the alarm bell for a lot of people I would concentrate on because it's really the biggest issue of the election. I don't know if it's going to be the biggest issue that people care about, but you've got a weird confluence of events that have happened. You had the bill passed that's going to give a lot of public education money in the terms of vouchers to, you know, wealthy people that have their kids in private school. So you've already got that. And we've seen how that's crashed a lot of state budgets throughout the country. Well, now putting that together, you now have a candidate on the Republican side running for superintendent who does not believe in public education at all. Like, it is an avowed, I don't believe in public education, even though she's running to be the head of public education for the state. So if you put together the biggest gutting of public education that's ever happened in the history of this state with a person who wants to further gut it, you're literally talking about within the next 4 years having nothing but a skeleton left of our public schools. And so I'm hoping people recognize that, because whoever you are, especially if you're in a rural area, you're not going to have access to these schools. And if the fee for this private or this charter school is $10,000, for instance, and the state gives you $2,000, that's helpful if you're rich. It does nothing for you to make up that $8,000 if you're working class. So I hope people pay real close attention to that.
It's the voice of North Carolina House Minority Leader Robert Reeves. I appreciate you taking the time, and I look forward to talking to you again in a couple weeks.
Same here. Thank you.